This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
Mike Love, the Beach Boys, standing by on the hotline. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
The raging debate, and I'm gonna depend on you to answer this honestly because I've seen many interviews with you over the years, and you've been incredibly honest. Sexiest woman in the rock scene of the '60s. Who do you think?
Oh my goodness!
I said Michelle Phillips. That's my answer. Who do you think?
It depends on your type.
Yeah, that's true. Tina Turner's one that came up. Dusty Springfield came up. I've always been in love with Michelle Phillips, though. I just absolutely adore her.
She would have been a good choice. In fact, the fellow who produced Kokomo, his name was Terry Melcher, good friend of ours. When Michelle broke up with John Phillips and had a little girl named China, Terry was a very compassionate person, and he took her to Hawaii to cheer her up.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
That's awesome. I'll have to shake Terry Melcher's hand if I ever see him. By the way, Terry Melcher is the son of Doris Day, for those of you keeping score at home. Mr. Melcher's led somewhat of a blessed life.
Yes.
He was also lucky enough not to be home when the Mansons went looking for him, which we won't even get into. But Melcher's had an incredible life story. Well, first of all, this is not the first time you and I have had conversation. Back in 1982, when you came to Augusta with the Beach Boys, I knocked on your hotel room door. I was a sophomore in high school, and I was junior in high school. I was very proud to present you with a shirt that I had, I think, three of them made. Jan and Dean fan club shirt, and you graciously accepted it and said that you were very happy to have it, and you promised that you'd wear it at a future performance at some time. So I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, that was a very memorable moment. Jan and Dean, those hubcap stealing, no surfing, you know, guys, actually we're really good friends with Dean. You know, when Jan got in his accident years and years ago, Dean became a fantastic artist. He was in, School of Architecture, University of Southern California. And Dean designed our logo. He designed a few album covers for us. Really, really good friend of ours, too. He sang with us on Barbara Ann, the song Barbara Ann, which became a big hit for us. So, yeah, we go way back with Jan and Dean.
Absolutely. By the way, he also, like you said, he became a great album design artist, working with everybody from Harry Nilsson to the Beach Boys to, he did your 15 Big Ones album, if I'm not mistaken, the cover of your album.
Yes.
And,
that's correct.
And he also worked with Mike Nesmith. I'm a big Monkees fan, so he goes back with those guys too. By the way, I got to tell you, you were robbed of an Emmy. Should have had that Emmy for your portrayal of yourself. I know it was a bit of a stretch, but in the Jan and Dean biopic, Dead Man's Curve.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know, it was fun to be involved in that and be a part of their story. So, but no, I'm not really, my feelings weren't hurt. I don't really think of an Emmy.
I was told by someone.
I was bummed because the Good Vibrations didn't get the Grammy. That's the real. That was I don't know.
Who beat you? Who beat Good Vibrations for Single of the Year? That was what, 68?
Yeah, exactly. Precisely 68. So, who beat us? I don't know. It might have been Winchester Cathedral or something.
Oh,
like that,
no!
You know,
that's terrible.
Yeah, oh no, I was right.
Good
Lord. I mean, that was, I demand a recount.
Absolutely. By the way, I have told people on thousands of occasions that if they have not seen the documentary, The Wrecking Crew, that they need to see that. I am just always, always, always in awe of the process that you folks went through back in the '60s, putting together these classic songs that have become the soundtrack of our life. And that was a very, very well done documentary talking about how all of that music was put together.
It was. And one of the people who played on our earlier records Dan actually came out and toured with us for a little while. My cousin Brian threw in the towel on the touring aspect of things. It was Glenn Campbell, and what a great guy and a great musician, a phenomenal guitarist, one of the most talented people you could ever hope to meet. Between his vocals and his guitar playing, he was masterful. And I was sad that he succumbed to Alzheimer's. That was a bummer. But he was so much fun to be with, and he's so gifted, so talented. You know, it was a real special time when he took my cousin Brian's place.
Back in the days when you were, when the Beach Boys were reinventing themselves, you guys would go out on the road and do whatever was current as far as your current releases go. But in the late '80s, when the hit machine kind of slowed down a little bit, that was when Glenn Campbell came in and filled in for Brian. When you guys came in off the road to record the Pet Sounds album, mm-hmm. was that something that you eagerly embraced, that you knew was going to be a masterpiece, or did you step back a little bit and say, Brian, what in the world have you done here?
No. I mean, there was a lot of misinformation about that. I actually named the album. I went with Brian and presented it to Capitol Records. It was Capitol Records that didn't know what to do with it because it was such a departure from I Get Around and fun, and Help Me Ron to, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it was... you know, quite a landmark album, but we do three songs from that album every single night. Sleep John B, Wouldn't It Be Nice, and God Only Knows. We'll be doing them this weekend too.
Who do you have singing lead? Is Bruce Johnston singing lead vocal these days on God Only Knows?
You know, my son Christian sings it. He has a very similar timbre quality to his voice that Carl Wilson had, that who we lost Carl to lung cancer a little over 20 years ago. But my son Christian sings that. But Bruce has seen Disney Girls, which came out on our Surf's Up album in 1972.
And a song that our good friend Art Garfunkel loves to sing, and by the way, he'll be coming to Augusta in a few weeks as well. You've had so many tremendous successes over the years, and what I really love about the Beach Boys, I call it the soundtrack of our life. At the time that everyone says, okay, they're done, they're pretty much done making hits, you guys come back in the 70s and fool everybody, and you become just as big, if not bigger, in the 70s as you were in the early 60s. And then, again, everybody kind of checks out and says, well, the Beach Boys are, you know, an oldies act now. Then you come up with what I think may be the greatest song to ever be in a movie, at least I think it is, Kokomo, which, speaking of the Phillips a little while ago, Kokomo, co-written by John Phillips and Terry Melcher, and added vocals by you. And it was, were you the only Beach Boy that participated in the writing of Kokomo?
In the writing of it, yes. Terry and I and John Phillips.
Yeah.
John Phillips wrote the melody of the verse, and I came up with the chorus, Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I want to take you. And Terry came out with, oh, I want to take it down to Kokomo. So it was a true collaboration. And so, you know, that was the largest selling single that we ever had. And
wow.
It is the biggest sing-along by far of any of our songs. I mean, we got some big ones. We got Barbara Ann, we got Help Me Rhonda, you know, got Fun, got California Girls. All these songs, people sing along to them, but Kokomo, that one, you know, the whole audience will sing along with us, which is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And I think my wife likes that video best of all because of John Stamos's appearance in it.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. And there's a little snippet of Mr. Cruz, too.
Absolutely. Well, in the video, yes.
Maiden name is Maypolar.
By the way, I'm reminded that while the Wilsons are cool cousins to have, you got a pretty cool nephew, Kevin Love, ladies and gentlemen, who is currently a Cleveland Cavalier and who played with LeBron for a while. Wait, how big a Cleveland Cavalier fan are you, Mike?
Well, I never thought I'd root for anything about or of Cleveland. However, I have to because my nephew is the the big cheese on the on the team there with the Cavaliers, and he's been fantastic. He spent a whole year at UCLA before he went to the Timberwolves in Minnesota, and then LeBron called him one morning and invited him to come and play with him in Cleveland, which he did. They just went out to dinner the other night in California when I guess LeBron has been injured, so he's missed a few games, and so but they stay in touch. They're still friends, you know, so that's a good thing. And he's also friends with Kyrie Irving, I think, you know. Kevin's just a really cool guy. He's always been, and it's great when I get to go see him, you know, play in one of his games and stuff and hang out.
By the way, one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up, if you've ever seen a Beach Boy wearing a Cleveland hat, now you know the story. This is the reason.
Yeah, exactly.
So many great connections over the years with so many fantastic artists and legendary entertainers. But I was asked the other day what my very proudest moment of the Reagan administration was, and I said when President Reagan took up for the Beach Boys, I was in. He had me there. Talk for a moment, if you would, about that moment in time when James Watt declared the Beach Boys as a unsavory element and they were concerned about the safety of the attendees at your Washington, D.C. concert.
Well, that was weird because we were on tour in Canada, and I got a call from the White House. Somebody came and said, the White House is calling. I said, what do you mean the White House is calling? And so I went to this production room at a venue we were performing at in Canada, and it was Mrs. Reagan. Nancy Reagan called and apologized to us for something that James Watt had said. And I said to her, I said, well, you know, Mrs. Reagan, it's probably not the first or the last time that James Watt will say something weird. But she was really sweet and invited us to the White House, and I sat and talked to her for a while. And when I received what they call the Ella Award, which is an award for people who sing, about 3 years ago back in California, she made a tape recording in congratulating me for getting that award. And so, you know, the Reagans were always very cool with the Beach Boys. It's really a nice thing. She took time out of her schedule to call and apologize for stuff that James Watt said. But yeah, I thought it was a little strange that he said that rock music wasn't appropriate for July 4th when rock music is about as American as you can get.
Well, the Beach Boys are about as American as you get. By the way, you know, of course, you're playing in Augusta, Georgia, James Brown's hometown. I hope you'll take a moment and get your picture made with his statue, which is not too far from the performance hall.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
He loved the Beach Boys, by the way. He was on the show many, many times, and he would always ask me what I was listening to in my car. And on more than one occasion, he would actually go through my CD collection in my car. And the Beach Boys were always well represented there.
Well, he was a force of nature, James Brown, that's for sure. He was great. I saw him in the Madison Square Garden in New York when it was the early 60s, when it was still made out of wood. It was the old Madison Square Garden. So, yeah, I'll never forget being at that show. He was an amazing, amazing performer.
Well, you're going to be here with the Beach Boys Saturday night. Looking forward to a great concert at the Bell Auditorium. And I know that you and Bruce Johnson are the stars of the show. Is your other original member still touring with you a little bit?
No, we did the 50th anniversary show a few years ago, where Al Jardine and Brian Wilson and David Marks joined us.
David Marks was the one I was going for. I knew that Brian and Al were not with you, but David Marks was the name I was going for. So he's not with you.
I love David Marks. He does come out from time to time with us, and he's the greatest guy, and a darn good guitar player, too.
Absolutely. And he was the one, ironically, that left the group early on, to go to dental school or something, or college?
No. Al Jardine was going to go to dental school. David was forced out by my Uncle Murray Wilson because his parents were too attentive to what was going on. So that was a bummer.
Understood, yeah. Understood. Well, I'm glad that he was able to come back out with you for the 50th. Your Uncle Murray has been really kind of dragged through the mud over the course of the last 40 years, and a lot of folks say rightfully so. Obviously, I didn't know him, so I can't render an opinion. But do you think that the good outweighed the bad with him, or is he just a figure that you just literally cannot get past and with his aggressive behavior?
He had some good points when it came down to promoting the Beach Boys. He did a great job in getting us out there on the radio stations, doing the earlier tours. But he was not a nice person, and he was very hard to deal with, and he was really hard on his sons. They took the brunt of his negativity, and he was really rough, physically and emotionally as well. So, I witness him plenty, being really hard on them and us, and so we actually, Brian and I actually fired him, and to get even with me, he denied me credit on songs like Help Me Rhonda and California Girls and I Get Around. Wasn't very nice to do since he was my uncle. But I didn't know what publishing was when we first started out, but he did. He was an aspiring songwriter and never achieved any success, but his son sure did, and his nephew, that's me. And so, but it wasn't it wasn't too pleasant being with him, which is sad to say because it was a family tradition. Music has always been a part of my life. We all sang together and everything like that, and for something negative to discolor the harmony is sad, kind of.
You were able to reestablish your authorship of those tunes, which, by the way, I'm so thankful that you were. I had many conversations with James Brown about the importance of publishing, and James was one of the few I listed the Beach Boys as one of the acts that gave up their rights because of your Uncle Murray back in the 60s to all their hits. James Brown was one of the few that never did that. Because he knew he knew the key was publishing, and I was so glad to hear that the Wilsons, Brian and you, had regained control of that catalog after litigation and whatnot. You've got 79, if I'm not mistaken, 79 tunes that you've participated in with the Beach Boys,
something like that. Yeah.
And that's a legacy for your family that long after Mike Love and Brian Wilson are gone, that will be a legacy for your estates and your family to continue benefiting from in perpetuity.
That is true. It goes for quite a long time.
Well, I promise somebody buying suntan lotion 100 years from now will hear a California Girls jingle, and it'll mean something to them. How do you feel about knowing that something that was born in your heart, in your mind, 30, 40, 50 years ago, has become such an ingrained part of the American mindset and culture?
Well, every night I see it. We come out and we'll do Surf and Safari, which is 1962, and we'll do Kokomo, and then we'll end up with Fun, 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 all of which I wrote the words for, except Kokomo I had shared credit, but I wrote all the words, California Girls, I Get Around, Fun, 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 Surf and Safari. You know, my cousin was most dominant in the music part of it, in the chord progressions and recording the tracks and stuff like that. But I was the one who did the lyrics and the hooks and so it's pretty phenomenal to see that a song he wrote more than 50 years ago still is. I mean, we get people sing along with us. At the show, and that's a lot of fun. So it's really neat to know that those songs still have a life. They're still loved by people.
Do you ever see yourself retiring while you're still enjoying what you do? I mean, you're not 30 anymore. You're a little bit north of 35 even. But do you consider yourself someone that would never retire?
Well, as long as you're healthy and as long as you have your abilities, you know, your vocal abilities, I would say that, you know, Tony Bennett is a good example. He's 91 or 2, something like that, and he sounds fantastic. But he does vocal exercise. He keeps his voice in shape. And he doesn't do anything to harm it, you know. His bad boy days are long gone. And so we live a pretty darn healthy lifestyle. We don't smoke. We don't drink to excess, nothing like that. And try to get a little bit of exercise in. And so if you live a healthy lifestyle and you're doing what you love to do, which is music, it's a family hobby that turned into a profession. I don't see there's any reason to completely quit. Maybe you might cut back just on account of you may not want to tour as much as you once did, but that's okay. You may be a little more selective about how often you go out and all that kind of stuff. But it's a real blessing to be able to go out and sing and for people to get the kind of joy and enjoyment out of what we do.
Well, again, I can't thank you enough. For me personally, your songs have had such an incredible impact on me. I've loved your music since the time I was a very, very small child. My parents loved them. By the way, I looked it up to be historically accurate. You are absolutely correct. It was 1967, actually, that the award was given out for best song. And Winchester Cathedral not only beat Good Vibrations, which is an abomination of the good Lord above, it beat Eleanor Rigby, Monday, Last Train to Clarksville, and Cherish by the Association. All fantastic songs that to this day are beloved by millions and millions of people. But the one that you never hear from, the one that you never hear of, Winchester Cathedral, which was a novelty tune, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, it was.
Unreal. That is that. You know, at some point you become jaded when you see something like that. Good Vibrations, which is arguably the greatest rock song of not only the 60s, perhaps of all time. And it lost the popular award of the day. That's got to be grating.
Yeah, I thought it was a little weird because Good Vibrations is so unique, and we put a lot into it. It was done over about a 6-month period of time in different studios, and of course I wrote the words, and I came up with, I'm picking up good vibrations, she's giving me the excitations. So yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that it lost to a song such with, like you mentioned. So
Winchester Cathedral, unbelievable. Not even a real vocal with that. That is crazy. Well, that's my outrage of the day. Somebody was asking me about a political issue. My outrage of the day is that Winchester Cathedral won the Grammy over Good Vibrations, unreal. Listen, it is an honor and a privilege to welcome you to Augusta, Georgia. We appreciate you guys coming here so much. I loved you when I saw you here in 82, and I hope you got to wear that Jan and Dean fan club T-shirt at least a couple of times.
Well, we're looking forward to be in Augusta, that's for sure. So we'll see you soon.
Saturday night. Thank you so much, Mike Love. An honor and a privilege,
right,
sir. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's news talk and information station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to the Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.